Blog Talk Radio.
Radio program. I am Susan Larison-Dams, and today I am so delighted to be welcoming on the show Lydia B. Smith. Lydia is the producer and director of the highly acclaimed award-winning documentary Walking the Camino, Six Ways to Santiago. And I am so looking forward to talking to Lydia because she is a very talented individual who herself has walked the pilgrimage of Camino. So not only is she documenting it, she herself has walked it in the past. And this film has won many awards. It has debuted to sell-out crowds where it's gone to film festivals. It's been called a brilliant documentary by Martin Sheen, and Lydia is also a local Portland resident, and many of you know in the audience that this show actually originates from just southwest of Portland, and it's well-timed this week because Walking the Camino is going to be coming to Portland this week for an exclusive one-week engagement, and it may even go beyond that, at the Hollywood Theater starting September 6th, and we'll be talking to Lydia about that. We will have Lydia introduce just what the Camino is, but essentially it's a 500-mile-long trail that has been a passageway for millions of pilgrims for over 1,200 years, and it is still a journey that many people undertake each year, and it is a journey into the soul as much as it is a journey by foot. And I know we are going to enjoy exploring that. I do want to invite you to visit the webpage for the film after the show, and it is available on the show page. That site is CaminoDocumentary.org. And if you're listening to the show live today, there is a live chat room if you would like to engage in the discussion. And you can access that from the show page, and I will convey any questions from the chat to Lydia. And I also invite you, if you're listening to the podcast later, to please enter comments on the page, because we always appreciate the interaction with the listeners in that way. So thank you for being here, and without further delay, I am so delighted to welcome Lydia on the show. Hello, Lydia.
Hey, Susan. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's really nice to have you here today, and I know that you're coming off a really interesting interview on AM Northwest this morning, which is our local show, and it was from there that I heard that this engagement coming up, which is scheduled for 1 week, could possibly go longer if it so works out that way. Could you talk just a little bit about the film coming to Portland?
Well, we're going to be at the Hollywood Theater, which is a fantastic independent theater, and they've just renovated, so it's gorgeous. I was just there last night. And yes, we have a definite one-week engagement where I'll be doing question and answers every night except for Sunday. Friday night is our premiere. And we're pretty sure we're going to get extended another week, but best to come the first week and best to buy your tickets early, especially for the premiere. We're getting pretty we've sold over 215 tickets, so we're getting close to being full.
Well, I hope to get out there myself because I this is definitely something I want to experience. I have heard wonderful things about your film from others in the spiritual community, and I think that what I appreciate about this is how it reaches out to people of many spiritual persuasions, and perhaps you can introduce the film in that way, just how this journey can touch all of our souls.
Well, that was, you really hit on it, because that was exactly my intention, was I think the Camino is such a great metaphor for life and for spirituality in that, you know, each of us has to find our own way, and it doesn't mean that one way is right and another way is wrong. It's just each of us will find the path that speaks to us. And I come from a science of mind background, and I'm a practitioner. Mm-hmm. I was licensed at Agape. And that's what I always loved about science of mind. It was really find what works for you. And for me, the Camino and making of this film was really an extension of my practitioner training and looking and really honoring everybody's path. And so that's why I have such a wide variety of pilgrims and motivations, ranging from a woman who does it with her three-year-old, who is very devout Catholic, to this guy that was just like, well, it's either walk the Camino or learn how to kiteboard. And so he decided to walk the Camino just as a sort of a whim, and, you know, it's a good way to get to know the country, but no spiritual motivation really at all, and yet it does kind of have that effect on him in the end, and then sort of everybody in between. But it really, to me, what makes the Camino so wonderful in that sense is there's not any strict dogma of you have to do this or you have to do that.
Yeah.
It's really like what works for you. Does it work to get up super early and walk and then stop in the middle of the day or walk throughout the day? It's really about learning to listen to yourself and listen to your own guidance of what's best for you. And that's why I think it's such a brilliant experience, because that's what we all need to do in life. There's nobody outside us that really knows what's best for us.
Yes. You know, one of the things that I appreciated, just having seen some of the footage, not having seen the whole film yet, is, you know, the spiritual path really is an individual path, and yet sometimes we feel pressured. I'm sure we'll play a clip. I think I have this clip available where there's an individual who feels like, oh, they're walking it faster. And, you know, I so related to that on the spiritual path, because so often, you know, we get frustrated sometimes. We feel like, you know, maybe things aren't happening fast enough, or we compare ourselves to others, or we judge ourselves. And how symbolic that is on a journey like that. You take it at your own pace. That is the spiritual walk.
Exactly. And really learning to trust yourself and what's right for you. And slow down to enjoy it. I mean, I keep having to remind myself to enjoy the process and to slow down. And, you know, I'm never going to be in this particular day in this particular situation ever again. So to be really present with it.
Yes. And, you know, that's such a lesson for all of us. No matter what we're experiencing, because I'm sure this is an exciting time for you in life, with all of the, you know, seeing so much of it, you know, when the fruits of your labor, seeing people enjoying it. I mean, that's really what it comes down to in the creative process, isn't it? That just to to share a message and to see it resonate. That must feel, I hope you are celebrating that right now.
Yeah, it's a constant constant thing for me to keep reminding myself to enjoy it instead of just
mm-hmm.
getting focused on the work, because I have a upcoming show in Boise and then in San Francisco and then I'm going back east, and so I have to kind of balance and really enjoy it, and I am present when I'm doing the shows and when I'm doing Q&As. That's when it's really wonderful and really just so great to see people enjoy it. And the most thrilling thing for me is that there's quite a few people that have come multiple times. And that, as a filmmaker, is just the biggest honor when somebody wants to see your film more than once. And it happened multiple times. We've been in Southern California at several different places, and there was one woman that came twice in Palm Springs, then she drove 2 hours to come to Newport Beach, not once but twice. And there are other people that have seen it already 3 or 4 times, and so I'm really really touched by that.
Yes. You know, something I've found on my own path, I actually started out in evangelical Christianity. That's where I was raised, and actually a mix of Catholicism and evangelicalism. So it's kind of an interesting mix. And sometimes people who then move on from that path can become agnostics, and it can be somewhat of a painful experience at times. And yet I feel like experiences like your film can call to those who even have left, you know, an overt,
mm-hmm.
certainly an overt religious path, but even kind of a spiritual path. There's something about this kind of experience that can draw us back to the fundamentals. And that's something I value in work of this nature, because you don't necessarily even have to be spiritual, per se, to be called to this work and to really appreciate it.
Absolutely not. And I think it is, it's just that time of self-reflection and quieting and
mm-hmm.
allowing yourself not to have your life busied by the million emails and calls and obligations, and just to kind of have that time. People can call it whatever they want, but that really is a communing with nature, with yourself.
Yes.
And so whether you call it God or whether you call it nature or whether you call it the Camino, or there's really no name for it, it's all kind of the same thing. And one thing I wanted to mention that was so, we were talking about earlier, I feel so grateful for the Camino and for the subject matter, because it hasn't been an easy road making this film, but the content of the film itself has what's inspired me to keep going and encouraged me, and it's really pretty neat the way that circle works, because just sometimes re-listening to the footage or remembering something that somebody had said to somebody else about encouraging them to keep going on the walk when they were feeling down would be what would keep me going when I was feeling discouraged.
I wonder if you could tell us what your own experience of walking the Camino was like and how much that has helped you in this journey as well, not only just filming people today, but the fact that you actually walked the Camino yourself. How has that helped you in the years since, and even with this journey of the film itself and all the things that you're doing with the film now?
Well, you know, it's funny because, as you can see in the film, a lot of people had some really big challenges, I think, as you've seen in the trailer, in doing the Camino. And for me, it was actually quite joyous. And I don't want to say easy. I mean, there were times in the beginnings I had blisters. But really, my biggest challenge when I was doing the Camino was the snoring. I was staying in the pilgrim hostels, the albergues, and if I was really tired, I could go to sleep. I had earplugs and the whole bit. But there were nights where I really had a hard time sleeping. And so I didn't really have the same kinds of challenges. For me, the challenge really arose in doing the film. But I think what inspired me was just in walking the Camino was just kind of reconnecting with myself and reconnecting with the truth of who I was. And I think for so long I've kind of hidden or played myself as a little bit smaller than I am and not risen up into my true potential. And I can't say it was necessarily an experience I had when I was walking. And many people say this about pilgrimage, that the real pilgrimage actually starts once you get home. And for me, that's been very true. I mean, my Camino continues today. My Camino has been not just walking the path, but making this film and getting this film out into the world. And the real challenging part was definitely making the film. The walking part was easy, comparatively.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. I draw much more strength from a lot of the wisdom of a lot of the people I interviewed than from my own experiences of walking, I would say. There's just so many extraordinary people that you meet along the way, both other pilgrims and then the hospitaleros, these mostly volunteers, people that work for free and donate usually 2 weeks of their life to just serve the pilgrims, to cook, to clean, to spend an hour working on their blisters, whatever they need.
Yes. Well, perhaps now's a good time to play the trailer, because I had actually intended to play it at the beginning. I got so caught up in the interest of this topic. I think I'll play the shorter one, because I think it translates well to audio. And then we have some other clips we can play in a bit to talk about the different individuals on the trail. So,
yeah, the only thing about the very beginning of the trailer is in Spanish, but it's about snoring, so everybody, I think,
yeah,
well, it's subtitled.
Yeah, that's actually going to be relevant. That's
yeah,
true. And then I thought, okay, well, I'm going to play one of the trailers here, and we'll see how this translates to audio here.
En los albergues grandes siempre tocan. Siempre, siempre. Era algo así como... Después, 20 segundos. Decías, bien, ahora. A los 20 segundos. Y volvías a dormir. Y después era así, fue toda la noche. Toda la noche.
When I first started, I was just walking, and people said to me, you will find the answer. And then I realized that I didn't have the question.
Pourquoi tu fais le chemin avec maman?
Parce qu'on n'a pas le choix.
Parce qu'on n'a pas le choix. I'm going to Saint-Jacques since I believe in God.
Think of it as walking in a postcard, you know, you're just walking in such beauty.
This is a very simple existence, and it's a very addictive kind of existence. You get up in the morning, you put everything you own into one bag, and you walk.
So I think I'm going to get rid of more stuff. Get rid of my sleeping bag. Get rid of anything except my toothbrush and all the clothes that I'm wearing. Now watch. Next up, it'll be, now I'm doing the Camino nude.
Well,
do
I
you?
Smell.
Well, you're German.
No, that's not the reason.
Easy or hard?
We should go with the higher difficulty.
Let's do that.
It's not what I wanted, you know. I was going away from home without a cell phone, without anything, just going to be on my own. Now I'm hanging out with a guy every day. But it would never be like boyfriend and girlfriend. No, I'm like 10 years older than he is.
Revolution, Che Guevara!
Che Guevara!
He's here to make party and I'm not. And I say to him, if you do it again, we are not working together.
At the beginning of the Camino, I was in trouble because of my ankle and I was limping a lot, but this was a whole other level. I mean, there were quite a few times that tears were coming to my eyes.
I'm just wrecked here.
My knees are just hurting so much.
I just feel so scared that I'm going to have to stop. I don't want to stop.
You just follow the path, and whatever comes up is what is there.
Okay, we're back on the air after playing that clip from Walking the Camino, and actually I think it conveys very well on audio, Lydia.
Oh, good. Well,
yes,
there's just the
yes.
little sections of subtitles, but I think you get the gist of it.
Yes, we certainly heard the snoring, and I know that if you watch, I do invite people to watch the trailer. That is available, very easily accessible from your CaminoDocumentary.org page. I also have it on FrontierBeyondFear.com where you can access it. So it is out there to actually watch. But we heard the snoring, and that is kind of an interesting thing that you know, you probably don't realize is going to have an impact on you during the journey, because you actually do need to sleep to restore your
yeah.
energy. And just that interaction, I guess, with the fellow people on the trail there was a story on AM Northwest this morning I heard, I don't think it's in one of the clips, where one of the people on the trail ended up being assisted by someone that was sleeping nearby. I wonder if you could recount that story.
Well, that was Annie.
Mm-hmm.
She was in this albergue, and she was albergue is a pilgrim hostel, and there was a space where sometimes the beds are literally right next to each other. I mean, it's
yeah.
almost like it's a double, it's almost like it's a queen bed. And sometimes that's a little intense, you know, you're not sure who you're going to be sleeping next to. And she was all nervous, oh, I hope it's not going to be a man. And lo and behold, it was a man. And she was just kind of like, oh, I don't, you know, I'm kind of uncomfortable about this. But she chatted to him, and he was a German guy. And so they went to sleep, and she didn't even get his name. And then the next day, as she was wandering and she was hobbling, she was in a lot of pain, there was this man said, oh, there's the American. And it was this man. And he saw that she was in pain and offered to take her backpack and walk it to the albergue for her. And she was so touched and so moved that here she was sort of ruining sleeping next to this guy, and then the very next day he does this exquisite act of kindness that meant so much to her. It was, I mean, and that's one of the things that really seems to happen on the Camino, is the best of us, the best of being human comes out, and people are so much more loving and giving. And my intention in making this film wasn't that everybody go do the Camino.
Yes.
But it does seem to have that effect. And the one thing I can at least hope is that usually I think once people do the Camino, they are more conscious and more geared towards service and helping others.
Yes. You know, as you're speaking, I feel like symbolically in a way, and I know this comes through your film as well, we're all walking the Camino, and we're all kind of in with sometimes, you know, bedfellows symbolically that make us uncomfortable, that we don't know well, and how
mm-hmm.
do we all interrelate in this world? And it seems a real lesson reflected in that is that often in the world we are called to help those that we don't know well. And so I can't help but see just such the deeper meaning there. Like you say, we're not all going to be called to actually walk the Camino. And yet we've all been in that situation where we're afraid of something, maybe even afraid of other people, depending on the situation in the world, and how beautiful that it can come back to us when we discover that, hey, you know, this is a fellow human being, and they care about us. If we can be in that space of caring more and more.
Mm-hmm.
I do really relate to Annie's story, and I wonder if maybe we should play that clip, because you have a nice clip of Annie that you gave me. So I'm gonna go ahead and play that. This is a clip you called Annie's Bad Day.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's times when the Camino is really just a little trail, like one person wide, and I start hearing people's sticks behind me. Dup, dup, dup. And it's like Jaws, you know, da-dum, da-dum. They're coming. And I'm like, I'm not moving. So my pace is slow. It's my pace. It's so ingrained in me to be competitive and to notice, like, other people are doing this faster. I can know consciously it's not about that. But boy, it really was like kicking my butt today. I finally step aside, and they're so nice. They're like, oh, thank you, Buen Camino. And then they go off, and within like 30 seconds, tuk, tuk, and then tuk, tuk, and then they're gone. A bad day for the ego is a good day for the soul. So this must be a great day for my soul. Man.
Lydia, I'm curious how it is that you found the people that you chose to film, because they have such unique personalities that we can so relate to.
Mm-hmm. There was only one person that I knew before we started, which was Annie.
Yeah.
Annie and I go back a long ways, and we are on a very similar spiritual path. She also goes to Agape. And when I told her about this project, she said, oh, I want to be involved, I want to walk. And I really realized I needed at least one person that I knew would completely open up to me and would be very vulnerable. And because that was really important to me, to not just kind of skim along the surface, but to go really deep. Because I think Annie voices a lot of things that most of us hide. We hide even from ourselves. The pain and the fears and all these things, sometimes I think we all kind of pretend they don't even exist. And so I really wanted at least one person that would be open about that. So she came over, and then the rest of the characters that you meet in the film, we met along the way. Because for me, I was really clear, this isn't my film, it's the Camino's film. And I really wanted me to get out of the way and let the Camino, you know, kind of put forth what was best for this film. And so I really worked on a lot of trust of, you know, trusting we were going to meet the right people in the right time, in the right way. And there's a really great story. Misa, who is the Danish woman, that she was going to just spend some time by herself and kind of really push herself by being alone. And then she meets William, a man 10 years younger with him, and she ends up walking with him. And we met Misa the very first day. I sent Sally, my Sally Bentley, who helped me produce this, who's also from Portland.
Yeah.
And so I sent Sally out on the first day to look for pilgrims. And so she started walking with Misa just as they were leaving Saint-Jean, which is the little town in France where the Camino Francés starts. And at the end of the day, Sally was like, oh, I met this really great woman. You're going to love her. And I did, and she was perfect. And so we followed Misa, and she meets William, and you'll have to watch the movie to see what happens. But
yeah.
What was extraordinary was on the very last day before arriving in Santiago, I asked all of my pilgrims in an interview why they decided to say yes to participating in the film. And Misa said, well, I only told William this the other day, and I haven't told you this, but 10 days before I was going to be starting the Camino, when I was back in Denmark, I had a dream. I had a dream that I was on Oprah. And I was on Oprah because I'd been in an American documentary about the Camino. And so she said when Sally approached her the very first day, the very first hour, and said, hey, we're doing this documentary on the Camino. Would you be interested in being involved? Misa said, I had no choice but to say yes. How could I say no? I mean, it was like she felt like I'd be struck down if I said no. I had to say yes.
Yes.
So we're still holding out for that vision of being on Oprah. But for now, we're on Susan. We're on the Susan show.
Yeah, you're
show,
on
so.
Susan. I'm not
Which
quite Oprah.
it's a step in that direction. So, but that was extraordinary. And then everybody else, we would just chat up and talk to people. And I was very conscious, though, of trying to find a variety of nationalities and motivations and reasons for doing the Camino. And we did follow about 15 people, and we only feature 6. I would have liked to have shown more. It's just it would have been too hard to follow, and I kind of got talked out of my 8-hour version that I wanted to make. I wanted to kind of show everybody, but it just wasn't realistic. But there was a lot of other great characters. But these 6 really have such great stories and a real beginning, middle, and end, whereas some of our other ones had really amazing Caminos. But, you know, for some it was more internal, and it wasn't a lot of things that they wanted to share, so that didn't make a good story. Or for some people, there was a Spanish man who had walked 10 times, and his whole goal was to be of service to people. And so it was very sweet, but it just wasn't compelling enough as a story to, you know, be in a long film. But we're going to be having all those clips. We have a bunch of what we call one-beat wonders, which we're going to include in the DVD. So everybody will see all the other characters that we followed and get a sense of them, even though we weren't able to include them in the final film.
Well, I could see how this material would really lend itself well to DVD like that, where you can provide the extra footage. That will be interesting. You know, as you're talking, Lydia, I'm wondering just... I think many of us have found, especially if we're writers or artists, any way that we express ourselves creatively, the actual reflection about an experience, if we're comfortable doing that, enhances the experience. So as you're talking, I'm thinking that these pilgrims must have benefited from reflecting for you know, to really go deep in how they would present what they were going through.
Well, you know, it's funny you should say that, because that same question when I asked Jack and Wayne, the two older gentlemen from Canada, I asked them why they said yes and then what the experience was, and they both said, well, everybody said it enhanced their experience, but Jack and Wayne in particular talked about knowing they were going to be asked every 3 or 4 days what they were learning, how they were growing, what their experience was, they said it really enhanced their Camino because they were much more present with it and conscious rather than just going through the motions.
Yes, yes. That is interesting to hear. And in fact, I will tell you that Wayne's story, the part that I've seen, and I am really looking forward to seeing this whole film. I will be there one of the days. I'm planning to come, and I look forward to it. Yeah, yeah, maybe even Friday if I can manage, but I look forward to it. Anyway, I would love to play the clip about Wayne, because I think this touches the hearts of many people, and many listeners out there will very much relate to what Wayne has to share. So I am going to play that clip now.
One of the spurs that got me here was my old friendship with Jack. And Jack performed the funeral for my wife.
What happened?
She died suddenly 4 years ago. So last year I did a pilgrimage in Japan with my oldest son. It's been one of the highlights of my life, actually, to do that particular trip with my son.
And it was for you guys to honor your wife.
Mm-hmm.
It's so beautiful.
Thank you.
I bet she felt that.
I think so, yeah. So, sorry, it's still fresh sometimes.
Of course.
You know.
I'm quite frankly confused a lot of the time about things beyond the physical. Or there are moments where you think all of this is part of some big, massive whole. And then other days I think it's just a big, bloody mess, and I'm just happy to be walking here. There may be something beyond, and I don't know what it is, but I've learned to be very patient with myself and try and accept that this day is what I have now, and there are no guarantees about tomorrow, and so I will walk this day as best I can. And I think that's where I am right now.
Well, I think we can so appreciate that in so many contexts of our lives. That is and you know, the imagery, Lydia, with that part of the film can't convey on audio, but that part really touched me right after how they're in the church. I really invite people to see that, because it is powerful. Even just listening to it, very powerful.
Well, you know, going back to what you were talking about. You know, the Camino bringing people back to their spirituality. It's funny you should mention those church scenes, because Wayne was not, as he says, he's not really sure what he believes. His friend Jack is a minister, and that was something that, reflecting and talking with you, I do realize I had a real healing about churches for myself, even though I was very involved in, you know, science of mind, that's kind of different than what I think of it as church. And for me, my brother died when I was a child, and I had a real, I was kind of very angry at God, and I refused to go into church for a long time, and I really had a kind of a long journey kind of finding my own spirituality. But it was on the Camino that I made a decision to meditate in every church I went in. And I walked with this one Spanish woman, and she talked about how so many of these churches were built on ancient Celtic sites, which were thought to be very powerful energetically. And so I realized, wow, I've been kind of shunning this. And so I really started to embrace it in a different way. And it really was a healing for me. Now I go to churches and I go and I meditate. And I don't have to necessarily embrace every philosophy or way of life of a church to be able to honor and respect it, and to realize that here's a place where people come to connect with their God. And so I can do the same. And we don't have to have the same image or the same without we don't have to have the same idea of it, and we can all get something out of it.
Yes, yes. What you say here, it's so true. I know that some of us who do come from really conservative backgrounds, and then, you know, I'm now more of the new thought persuasion, or, well, it's hard to define what I am exactly,
yeah.
The co-creative persuasion, that's
mm-hmm.
how I like to put it. I can't label it, and many of us can't label it, Lydia, because,
mm-hmm.
you know, we don't fit. In fact, I've
yeah.
had other guests on this show. In fact, someone I'm hoping to bring with me to your film. She's been on this show many times. Her name is Sue Elliott, and she runs a group called Portland Christians with Questions. And so she's very engaged. I'm not, and it's a nonprofit. So I'm not promoting her or anything. I'm just trying to say that she represents exactly this, and I'm sure she's listening, that we yearn, Lydia, for this experience. In fact, she and I have talked about this very thing. We miss the beauty of church, Lydia,
mm-hmm.
and how it makes us feel. And yet we have been wounded by the dogma that didn't
mm-hmm.
resonate with us.
Mm-hmm.
And you do capture something there, and you really make me want to reflect upon this. And I think both Sue and I will be reflecting on this more, in that it's something we are called to. I have talked to agnostics who, many famous agnostics who've written books about their agnosticism, still talk about celebrating the beauty, and they can have transcendent experiences without, you know, knowing, having that knowing, and that's it. That's what Wayne captures,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
there is something there, really. This will reach out to many people, you know, once they realize that that's the experience of this film, and that's the experience of our journeys. So, yeah, you really captured something powerful there.
Oh, well, thank you. I mean, that's the thing, is it feels like each of the characters is a little bit of me. And,
yeah.
And really reflects part of my experience. And there is something really about the Camino, like it feels like the veil is thinner there. Because my brother passed away over 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And yet on the Camino, he was so present for me. And I've talked to a lot of people that have had that experience, that there's a real healing of letting go of someone, or of feeling their presence more on the Camino.
Yeah.
There is a definite healing on different levels that I think maybe we don't even know. And my intention with the film was to try and bring that back, so that people watching the film would have, even if it's just a sliver of the experience of walking, but have that same transformational experience. And I feel very blessed. There's quite a few people that have written about watching the film have said that. It's a transformative experience watching it.
Yes.
And that was really my intention. And to inspire people to find what makes their heart sing, which for me is walking, is being on the Camino. But, you know, for you it could be gardening and making more time for that, or whatever it is for somebody, to really find that place in their lives where they feel more connected to themselves and to their community and to the universe and as a whole.
Yes. I wonder, Lydia, as you're on that trail, do you ever reflect upon basically the connection to humanity across time? I mean, I know this is true when
yes.
you go to many historical places, but here we're talking about a place where throughout time people have reflected deeply, and so you say that you really felt that.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to put my finger on it, but
yeah.
I definitely kind of could feel, I think, the energy left there by literally, you know, millions of people throughout the ages, and all on a quest to become better people, or to become more fulfilled, or whatever. I mean, it's a deeper thing than just walking to the store. And there really is something left along the path that I can sense, but I can't put my finger on how it works or what it is. But there's definitely something there.
You know, I sensed in Annie's interview this feeling of commitment, wanting to finish. I'm wondering, even if you didn't get included in the film, is there anyone that you talked with that had to leave the trail partway through, and how did they deal with that that experience?
Well, we had these two German girls, and one of them quit literally like 3 days in. She was just like, "Whoa, this is not my thing. It's too hard. I don't want to do it." But her friend actually continued on without her. And then there was a Spanish woman from Barcelona that had some health issues and had to leave. And luckily, I think for the Spaniards, it's a very different situation because it's so close. So Maria Rosa was not too torn up by it because she was like, "Well, I'll come back next year." I have had friends that have done it, or people I've met over the years that started off and just because of one reason or another could not finish and were devastated. But that was part of their Camino, and that was part of their journey, was they had to know, okay, I can't go on, and I need to stop now to take care of myself. So you just kind of never know what's going to be on your path, just like life.
Yes.
You can think you know what's going to happen and where you're going to go, but you don't really know, I think, until you're there.
It's highly symbolic. It's just in every way, that's all you can – there's so many different ways of looking at this. What about the local people? I'm curious, how do the pilgrims, as they're walking this trail, how do they interact – with the local people around them? Is there a lot of interaction? Is there support? Do you feel safe? I mean, that would be a question I would ask. You know, it seems like the people walking this trail are almost like they're on sacred ground, and they just feel safe walking.
Oh, absolutely. And
yeah.
And there's a real sense of protection. The people that run the albergues, which is kind of mix of people that run private albergues that live there, and then volunteers that come and go, and then people from the churches, and there's a real safety there. I never in a moment did I ever feel unsafe. I mean, I've heard, you know, small things here and there, and but what happens is there's like the Camino voice. So if there is someone suspicious, or if there is some robbery happening or something like that, then the hospitaleros in one town will call up the hospitaleros in the next town and say, "Hey, look out for this guy that's this, this, and this." And so there's really a protection that happens. And so, as a single woman, I would not think twice about going again. I felt safer on the Camino than, you know, anywhere else I could ever imagine.
You're probably feeling safer than some cities sometimes. I mean, but that is reassuring. I know that, you know, for all single women like us, I mean, it's something that you do think about. And it struck me watching what I've seen is that, yes, except for Annie's a little insecurity about, you know, where she'd be sleeping, although she didn't really express that as a safety issue per se. It just seemed like they had this feeling of being protected, and that struck me. And it's reassuring for those who would choose to take the journey as well.
Yeah, and the local people are very supportive. Spaniards are just lovely. I mean, they really are so encouraging. And I think for a lot of the locals, I mean, the Camino has had a real resurgence in the last 15 years. And there's been little towns that were just on the brink of, you know, falling apart and disappearing, that have been able to be kind of had a whole new wave of growth thanks to the Camino. And so there's, I think, a lot of gratitude for the pilgrims and for And there's a real understanding. I mean, this has been going on for generations and generations. There's one hospitalero that his grandmother used to take in pilgrims. And back then it would only be, you know, four or five a year, you know, and now there's thousands upon thousands.
Yes.
But it's sort of in the consciousness there. And but like anywhere, I mean, you occasionally will find somebody that's not the most pleasant.
Sure.
But
yeah.
But overall, the people and the hospitaleros are just wonderful.
Yes. Well, I'm going to play one more short clip here that I have of an individual who's hurting on the trail one day, and then we'll talk a little bit more about your upcoming events, because I want to make sure we have a chance to talk about that some more. So here's one more clip from Walking the Camino.
I must say that today was probably the toughest day yet. It started off great, despite the fact that it was raining all day long. I start to feel this pang in my left knee, and it's something that I hadn't felt before. I was like, okay, so this is new, but you know, hopefully it'll work out. I'm gonna rest and have a coffee. Had a coffee, I got out of the rain, and it didn't get better, and I had 15K to go with nowhere to stop. And I'm telling you, it was hard. It was, I mean, I at the beginning of the Camino, I was in trouble because of my ankle, and I was limping a lot, but this was a whole other level. There were quite a few times that tears were coming to my eyes. And I was questioning why I'm here and why we're doing the Camino, and I was going through these beautiful hills, and I kind of wasn't taking advantage of it.
For the past 7 days, I've been going with pain every step I take. And I'm really down about the possibility of not making it. But I'll stop if I feel that there's some permanent damage that may occur to me.
Wow, that's symbolic of the human experience, I feel like, how, you know, once again, and yeah, another powerful moment from your film.
Oh, well, thank you.
It seems like, because I know there are people in the audience who, I mean, we all go through periods in life where it's painful, I mean, sometimes directly, and you know, we wonder, especially those of us, you know, now that I've become more of a, quote, I don't know, again, there's no label, New Ager, I guess some people would call me from the past, is you begin to think, you know, why did you undertake this human experience? And so as I'm listening to that clip, I'm thinking about that, how, you know, many of us feel that we consciously undertake the human experience for our own growth.
Yeah, I believe that for sure.
Yeah, and so I appreciate how that's reflected there. Well, the broadcast is gradually winding to a close here, and I want to give you the opportunity again, Lydia, since we are heard not just in Portland, technically worldwide, mostly in the U.S., but it also goes out worldwide. We do have some audience in other parts of the world. Please tell us, you know, what's coming up, even beyond Portland, and how we can support you, because I know that this is a labor of love, and you welcome support.
Well, thank you. Yes, it has been. We are completely independent and a nonprofit, and so 90% of the money to finish this film has come from individual donations. And so we're actually still fundraising just to get us to film festivals. We have some exciting film festivals coming up, and it costs money because, unfortunately, we need to pay our expenses to get there and while we're there, and then for flyers and promotional materials and for doing outreach, and then the festivals keep all the box office. So it's a little, it's tough, but it does give us some recognition, and the awards help, and it is part of the path. And then we are starting to do benefit screenings. We're going to be in Boise on September 14th, and then a smaller fundraiser in San Francisco on Wednesday, September 18th. And then we're just in a bunch of film festivals. You can find all our upcoming screenings on our website, which is CaminoDocumentary.org. And you can also donate there. If you donate, any donation of $25 or more, we will send you our 23-minute fundraising trailer, we call it, which gives you a really good idea of the film. We do not have the film on DVD yet. That takes some money, and we don't have the money just yet for that. But we're also doing a theatrical release. And we're still kind of trying to figure out what that looks like, if we're going to be doing it on our own, one city at a time, or if we're going to have a distributor. Or there's a great organization called TUG where you can demand or organize a screening in your own town. So that's something we might be doing as well. And it looks like we'll be down in the Bay Area, I think in San Rafael in the beginning of December. So we're kind of just starting to get out there, and I'm also looking at doing a cross-country tour next year, or hitting a lot of different markets. But it's a moving target distribution now of independence, and so trying to figure out what's the best path for us. But one way that people can definitely help is by signing up for our email update list, so then you can tell people. If you have friends, for example, in Boise, tell them to come see the film. The other thing that really helps is liking us on Facebook. And that's because I think if a distributor, right now we have just over 5,000, but if they can see, wow, look at how many people are really interested in a film where nobody gets shot and nothing blows up. There really is a market for this. And that's what we're really trying to show, that not everything has to have violence or has to be depressing. I mean, so many of the documentaries out these days are really important social issues, but you walk away feeling a little dejected and depressed about the state of things. And there's a place for those, but there's also a place for films that will uplift you and inspire you to do something significant for yourself, for the world. So, liking us on Facebook. And our Facebook page is the Camino Documentary. That was our working title for a long, long time. So, that's our website, and our Facebook page is the Camino Documentary. And our Twitter is Camino Doc, which is just connected to our Facebook. I kind of focus mostly on keeping people really up to date on Facebook more than anything.
Yeah. And I did discover your Twitter feed in the past. I tend to do a lot on Twitter. I started there first, so I'm actually going from Twitter to Facebook, unlike most people. But, I appreciate that you're building that presence as well. And I do hope that this film gets considered for the Academy Awards, because it certainly sounds, and I know that requires a little bit of effort as well to put it into that.
It requires not only a little bit of effort, a lot of money.
And effort.
Yeah, and it's been we've been kind of looking at getting doing what it takes to be considered for Academy Award, and we decided we're not going to do it for this year. We're going to look at next year, not for this year, but for next year. But it is tricky, and I mean the whole. So many of the films that do get nominated have studios behind them. They have Miramax, they have Magnolia, they have these big companies, and most of them tend to be very hard-hitting, edgy documentaries, and that's not us. So we're always kind of outside the box and finding a different path.
Good for you.
Yeah, but that does mean we do need the extra help.
Absolutely.
So I appreciate whatever people feel motivated to contribute. We're very grateful for it.
We're coming to the end of the live broadcast, but it continues into the podcast for those who are listening. You can listen to the end. We're just going to wrap up here real quick. You know, I just wanted to wrap up with a thank you. Thank you so much, Lydia, for coming to
my
the show
pleasure.
Today.
My pleasure. I really enjoyed it.
And I wish you well with your Portland engagement, and I do hope I'm going to get out there one way or another, and I look forward to not only seeing the film, but I think it's wonderful you're doing the Q&A several nights, so I think people can really appreciate that. Go ahead.
We're also doing a fundraising party on Sunday, September 8th. And that if you buy your tickets for the premiere and the party, it's $35 or just $30 for the fundraising party, which will take place on the Willamette River right next to the Selwood Bridge. And we've gotten a couple kegs donated as well as wine, and we'll have a chef preparing tapas. So it'll be a fun party. So
it
I hope you can come
like
to that
it.
As well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, well, I certainly invite people to come out and see the film wherever you are. Look for it in your areas. If you're involved with film festivals or places, I mean, I invite people to contact you, Lydia, to really spread the word about this, because just what I've seen, I mean, it's truly inspiring. And you are so right. I mean, we need more of these sorts of films, and the more success stories that we have of these sorts of films really getting out into the world, the more that will be made. And, you know, that's a powerful message in itself.
Yeah, it's true, because it needs to balance out. I mean, not to take away from the social issue films, but we need more like this that are inspirational and uplifting.
Yes. Well, I mean, so many times we need a place to go for refuge and peace, and I enjoy the challenging movies too. We all do, but sometimes we just need to go to a film to restore our spirits, and that's what I feel this film will do. So, thank you again so much.
Well, thank
and,
you.
You take care, and I wish you well with everything coming up.
Well, and I look forward to meeting you in person at whatever screening you end up coming to. And I do encourage people to buy their tickets in advance, especially for Friday night, because I think we will sell out. I'm pretty sure. So if you just to avoid any kind of disappointment, if you buy your tickets in advance at hollywoodtheater.org, that's a good way to make sure you get to go when you want to go.
Yes, definitely. So I hope people do get on top of that right away. So so again, thank you, and thanks for all that you're doing in the world, Lydia.
Oh, well, thank you, and you too.
All right. Well, you take care.
Thank you, Susan. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And I'm just going to wrap up with a couple of show notes here. We have another show coming up this week. That will be Thursday, September 5th at 12 noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. Dr. Robert Foreman is coming back to the show. He is the author of Enlightenment Ain't What It's Cracked Up to Be. He's been on the show several times before. He is known for being an expert in mystical experiences. But on the show on Thursday, we are actually going to talk more about relationships and this concept of soul jazz, how we can learn to be more authentic with one another and really share our deeper selves with those that we trust. And so Robert will be back on the show on Thursday, September 5th. And if you would like to learn about all the upcoming shows and also look at the archive for the Frontier Beyond Fear, just visit frontierbeyondfear.com. And I, too, welcome your support if you feel so guided, as this show is also listener-supported. And I so very much appreciate the community around the show, and especially want to send a greeting out to those of you listening in the podcast in the future, because I really do sense your energy across time here with us today. So thank you so much, everyone, for being here. And I will see you next time. Until then, I hope you do find peace on your journeys.
Thank you.